Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. Today we will cover Chapter 6, which covers the artificial intelligence in supply chain management, specifically procurement and supplier relationship management. So the topics we will be covering here will be introduction to procurement, introduction to supplier relationship management, AI's transformative role in procurement and supplier relationship management, intelligent sourcing, intelligent operations, which is also covering the AI-driven purchase orders and processing and automation, AI procurement platforms, examples of supplier collaboration platforms, and of course, we will summarize the learning. So let's come to the introduction. Procurement is not about buying goods and services. It's a strategic function that influences cost efficiency, supplier relationships, and operational resilience. A well-structured procurement function enhances quality, minimizes risk, and ensures business continuity. So we have already talked in previous chapters on these importance of procurement. Procurement is the function which spends the money. So like sales is actually responsible for the revenue. Procurement is largely responsible for the expenditure, and how efficient the procurement is will decide also the cost efficiency. That means how cost effectively you are able to deliver products and services, and which will directly and indirectly also decide the profitability of the company. So a well-structured procurement function enhances quality because quality of the material being procured is very important, minimizes risk, risk of stockouts, risk of quality problems, consistent quality, etc., and ensures business continuity. So here we are talking of the reliability of the supplier. So it covers the entire resource acquisition lifecycle, including the need for identification, which is recognizing the essential requirement for the business in terms of what are the raw materials or services which are required, and what should be the qualification or the specifications of those raw materials or the services. Supplier selection, most important, because once you have decided on the quality parameters that you require, then you need the suppliers, and you need to select the suppliers who will deliver the right quality at the right cost at the right time and who are reliable. So finding and evaluating potential suppliers. So this is part of the supplier selection. Contract negotiation. So establishing favorable terms to maximize value. And when we say contract negotiation, there are so many commercial terms, including payment terms, the service levels. So like what kind of inventory the supplier will be holding, and so that he can supply material at short notice. So it's not simply about the price at which he supplies the material, but it covers a host of things, including whether the supplies will be ex works or whether it will be door delivery, etc. So contract negotiation covers a wide gamut of commercial terms. Logistics and delivery management, ensuring seamless and timely procurement. So once you have selected the supplier, the next thing is ensuring that you are getting the material on time and you are getting it consistently. That means as and when required, the material is being delivered to you without any failure. Payment and supplier collaboration, managing financial transactions and fostering long-term partnership. So today, people are talking about sole suppliers and supplier relationship. So in the past, the focus was on, selecting suppliers simply based on price, etc. Today, people are looking at long-term relationship with the supplier, with a partnership with the supplier, so that jointly they can look at the process at the supplier's end to ensure that they are able to produce the raw materials or the components which are being supplied by the supplier in the most efficient and effective way. So this is where the supplier relationship comes in. And it's a win-win kind of a mindset, you know, where both the buying organization and the supplying organization both benefit and both grow, you know, with the business. Procurement integrates multiple strategic activities, ensuring long-term efficiency and value creation. So this is ultimately the goal, you know, where you are trying to improve the overall efficiency of the value creation or the value chain, so that you know, you are getting consistent quality at the right cost, and which will, you know, help you become a profitable organization. And also, you know, the procurement has to keep up with the innovations, etc., that the organization is undertaking. Sourcing, identifying and selecting reliable suppliers through market research and evaluation. So you need to you know, scout for the right suppliers, and it can be through market research, and then of course you have to evaluate them to actually look at whether they can meet your requirement, whether they can grow with you. So maybe to start with, the business may have a very reasonable kind of a requirement, but as the business grows, whether the suppliers will be able to grow with you, whether they have the technical capabilities, you know, to grow along with the organization. Negotiations, establish mutually beneficial terms regarding price, service levels, and quality, which we have just discussed, that it's not simply about negotiations, it's not about price, it's also about the service levels, it's also about the other commercial terms, such as delivery, etc., and of course, the quality. Logistics management, coordinating transportation, warehousing, and timely delivery to maintain operational continuity. So you can also have, you know, the materials delivered. When you're talking just in time, you know, there could be multiple deliveries within a day, or there could be a delivery almost every day. In some other kind of materials, maybe you could have a delivery every week, you know, where the volumes are large. So this coordination regarding the transportation, warehousing, even if the supplier is far off, then you may have to, you know, keep a certain amount of safety stock, in which case the warehousing also becomes significant, because you are holding significant amount of stock, especially where the lead times are very high, or your consumption, there is a significant variation in the consumption. Payment processing, so once the material has been supplied, as per the commercial terms, you are required to make payment. So the processing of the invoices, so there is an entire process. First is the invoice, which the supplier will present to you. There are internal documents, like the goods receipt note, you know, where the store or warehouse receives the material, and they create a document called GRN or goods receipt note, which will say how many pieces were received or what quantity was received. And then based on this, you know, the payment will be processed, and remittance will be done to the supplier. Procurement versus purchasing versus supply chain management. So purchasing is a transactional subset of procurement. Purchasing is more like a one-off kind of an activity. So it involves purchase orders and invoice approval. Procurement is a broader function that focuses on supplier selection, negotiation, risk management, and category strategies. So it's a more holistic kind of a function when we talk of procurement. Supply chain is an entire different gamut, because procurement is only one part of supply chain. And as we have seen, supply chain covers right from the procurement to operations, right up to the logistics, which includes your distribution and the last mile delivery, etc. So this is, you know, one of the difference. Procurement process life cycle, that is source to pay. So need identification and specification development. So what we discussed earlier, once you decide what are the raw materials or components required, you need to clearly define your requirement in terms of the quality, specifications, any other parameters which the material has to satisfy. There are also things about quantity and the delivery times, depending upon where the supplier is located and what is the kind of inventory that you're working with. Ensure specifications align with business and operational needs. Obviously, if you're aiming for very high quality materials, etc., unless the raw material meets those specifications, you will not be able to meet the requirement on your finished product. So, for example, you are making a pharmaceutical product, which is supposed to have a very high purity, and the impurity profile is supposed to be in ppm, parts per million. So obviously, your raw material which go into the process has to be of a very, very pure and very high quality. So specifications need to align with the business and the operational needs. Supplier identification and evaluation. So conduct market research to identify reliable suppliers, because you may find there are a large number of suppliers already there in the market. Some may be just trading, some are actually manufacturers. So you need to look at, firstly, the capability, whether they are, ideally, even when we used to, procure material, the priority used to be that we will buy material only from the manufacturer. Now, in case a manufacturer says that, sorry, your requirement is too small and we cannot directly sell to you, but you will have to buy through a dealer. So only in those cases, we used to buy through a dealer. And if a requirement is very, very small, we just require one pack, let's say once a month or once in 3 months, etc., then we used to buy it from some authorized dealer or sometimes even from traders, etc. But ideally, you tend to buy all your major raw materials, etc., from the supplier. So you first have to find out who are the suppliers in the market, what is their capability, what is their reputation, etc. And based on this, you may shortlist and then carry out a screening process. So the next step is evaluate suppliers based on quality, cost, capacity, and ethical standards. And ethical standards is most important, because there are instances where certain countries, they are known to deviate from these standards. And imagine you are ordering the material is coming after a month, and when it lands here, you suddenly find that the material is not exactly as per your requirement, and you have already sometimes paid for the material, or you are operating against an LC where the payment has to be made. So it's very important that when you evaluate the supplier, quality, cost, I can understand. Capacity also, because whether they can scale up their capacities or they are capable of supplying to you in case you scale up your capacities. So that's important. And ethical standards, that is most important. RFI, RFP, RFQ processes. So what are these? The first one is request for information, understanding supplier capabilities. So you may ask the supplier as to what are the materials they can supply and what are the specifications of those material. So they may actually give you the specifications that they can abide by, what specifications they can commit. So this is RFI. Request for proposal, RFP. Obtain detailed solutions and pricing. So here you are basically asking them for a quotation, not quotation, basically a proposal. So they tell you that these are the things we can supply. These are the different pack sizes. For example, they will say that I can supply this material in 5 kg packing, 25 kg packing, 200 kg packing. So, and what will be the price for those different kind of packing, etc. or even the different grades that they are able to offer for the same product. The lastly, request for quotation. So here they compare the price quotation for well-defined requirement, and here it's a final binding quotation. So they are making a commercial offer which you can accept, and based on which you can be raising a purchase order against the requirement. Negotiation and contract management. So negotiate pricing, payment terms, delivery schedules, and service agreement. We saw what are the commercial terms which need to be negotiated. Establish legally binding contracts, ensuring compliance and risk mitigation. So in many cases, when you're entering into a long-term agreement, there is a legal contract also that you enter into. Like, for example, if the supplier is going to install certain equipment, etc., to meet your specific requirement. So in that case, he will be asking you for certain commitment that you will buy certain volumes from him every month, or it may be a one-time commitment that over the next 2 years or 3 years, this is the kind of a volume that you will buy from me. And in case you don't buy that, then there will be certain penalties. That means you have to compensate him for the equipment that he has installed and you have failed to fulfill. Also, there can be binding from the supplier side regarding the quality to be supplied, the volumes to be supplied, etc. Many a times, the price which is committed is based on volumes. Like, for example, they may say that this is the price, but if you are going to order, let's say, 50 tons during the entire year, then the price will be so much. Now, you don't know whether the customer is going to buy 50 tons or not. So you enter into an agreement, and as per the agreement, either they will give you a price which is committed for 50 tons, or they may actually give you a credit note once you fulfill that quantity. So all these things, there are certain contracts which are entered into between the supplier and the buyer. Order fulfillment and goods receipt. So overseas delivery processes. So once the supplier supplies the material, they are received at your end. So as I said, your warehouse or the store will receive the material and they will conduct quality checks. They will compare it with the purchase order. So normally the invoice that the supplier will provide will have the purchase order number, and the store will compare it with the purchase order to see whether the quantity and the the product which is being supplied is as per the purchase order or not. The next is the QA function, where the QA will check whether the specifications are in line. Nowadays, there is one more requirement that along with the material, companies are insisting that you also supply a certificate of analysis. So it's not necessary that the receiving organization, the buyer, has to check the material every time. And they may, go simply by the certificate of analysis if the party is reliable. They may do surprise checks once in a while just to check whether the certificate of analysis values match with their internal testing. Invoice processing and payment. So validate the invoice against the PO and the delivery record. Delivery record, as I said, is could be a delivery challan and also the GRN, goods receipt note, which is generated by your warehouse. Ensure timely payments, avoiding delays in supplier relationship. So whatever is committed, if you have committed 60 days payment terms from date of invoice or date of receipt, as it could be, because there are various commercial terms which are in existence today. So in some cases, the payment is promised from the date of the invoice. In some cases, it could be from the date the material is received at the buyer's end. That is your organization. So supplier relationship management, continuously monitor supplier performance, reliability, and service level. So what you're doing, the call off which is being given, let me tell you what is the call off. So you may have an open purchase order. So like you require, let's say 50 tons during the year, and every month you are ordering, let's say 4 to 5 tons of material. So these are called the call off. So you are not issuing a separate purchase order, but you are issuing a call off against the existing purchase order. And once you give a call off saying that I want 4 tons material by on this date, correct? So it could be either purchase order or it could be a call off. And you will monitor the supplier performance, whether he supplied the material on time or not. That means, did he supply the material on the date that you required, maybe a day or two earlier, or did it come later? Reliability, whether you know he has been consistently giving you the supplies on time. Generally, even if 1 or 2 days early the material arrives, it is considered to be on time. But this definition can change from organization to organization. In some organizations, even if the material comes early, then it is deemed to be not supplied on time. But it depends on the individual organizations. Quality is also monitored in terms of whether there were any defects detected, or whether any other defect in terms of the quality of the packaging, leakages, spillages, etc. And service level. So like what kind of services they have provided in terms of documentation, whether the certificate of analysis, etc., they were received in the correct way. And also, you know, the information regarding the delivery. So were they providing the information in a timely fashion? Strengthened collaboration for innovation and long-term sustainability. So one of the objective of supplier relationship is also to strengthen the relationship, long-term relationship with the supplier. This is more of a Japanese concept, you know, where in the West, people used to have more of a transactional kind of relationship. But in Japan, they found that companies built up a long-term relationship, and there was a certain amount of loyalty and a certain respect of both the organizations, and they worked together to, you know, reduce the cost, improve the service quality, and have a win-win arrangement. So it's not that I require material just in time, so you have to produce the material and you will be carrying 1 month's stock. So that is not a win-win kind of a situation. So sharing of the information, timely communications, etc. So this is how the supplier relationship concept was developed, which mainly came from Japan. Strategic procurement. So this focuses on long-term supplier partnership and cost optimization. So this is what we just talked about, you know, about the Japanese supplier relationship management, where you are working very closely with the supplier, and you are even guiding or educating your suppliers, helping them to optimize their cost, which in turn, you know, benefits the buyer organization also. So, and there is a high level of transparency in terms of the cost, in terms of the processes, etc., so that, you know, the buyer organization can also help the supplier, you know, optimize the cost. Mitigates risks, ensures business alignment, and support competitive advantage. So naturally, you know, when you are working very closely, you know, you are able to mitigate the risks, common risks relating to supplies, logistics, etc., even regarding supply of materials, you know, raw material to the supplier, not to us. Ensure business alignment and support competitive advantage. It's a win-win for both the parties. So key activities of procurement, category management. So optimizing purchases within a defined category. So let us say that it's an automobile, you know, company. The category could be, let's say, bearings. So every kind of bearing which is, being procured by the company will be handled by a category, or will be classified as a category and managed by a category manager. Likewise, fasteners, or in an industry, like, for example, it's a industry which is making polymers. So somebody who is sourcing the monomers, so he may be, sourcing different types of monomers. So monomer by itself will be a category, and category management or the category manager will be focused solely on that category only. He is supposed to be an expert in that area, who knows the market, who studies the market, who studies the trends, and he is able to provide optimum purchasing in that particular category. Market analysis, assessing industry trends, supply chain risks, and emerging opportunities. So market analysis is how the market is moving. It could be that at particular time, certain countries may become more attractive in terms of sourcing of certain kind of materials. So it's necessary to constantly assess, what are the trends in the industry, and where you can source the material at the, you can say, the most optimum price, quality, etc. Supplier development, enhancing relationship through collaboration and innovation. We have already seen this, and it's a structured process where you first assess the supplier capability, you conduct an audit, supplier audit, and then you identify the areas for improvement. You also identify the strength of the supplier, and you try to strengthen those areas, and the weaknesses or the areas for improvement, you actually support the supplier to come to a minimum level, acceptable level, so that it's a win-win for both the parties. Operational procurement. So ensures day-to-day procurement efficiency, minimizing delays. So when you say operational procurement, this is basically about the call-offs, etc. So you have already issued an open purchase order, and now you have to simply call off the material. So you need to decide when to call off the material, how much to call off, and this has to be communicated to the supplier. Maintains compliance with policies and enhances transaction speed. So you are maintaining compliance with ethical policies, commercial policies, etc. There has to be certain fairness, because if you have two or three suppliers, then you have to ensure that you are giving opportunity to all the suppliers based on whatever proportion of the business that you have decided to split between them, and basically enhance the transaction speed, so that the transactions happen in the shortest possible time and you receive the materials in a timely manner. Key activities: purchase requisition processing. Now, typically in any organization, you cannot release a purchase order unless there is a purchase requisition. And the purchase requisition will be raised by the department or the function which requires the material. So whether it is a one-off transaction, that means you require a material, one-time material, or you require material for the next year, you need to raise a purchase requisition. So we talked about the open purchase orders, where you are entering into a contract with the supplier for, let's say, 1 year. Nowadays, it's a little rare. In the good old days, we used to have this yearly contract with major suppliers where they will hold the price for one entire year. So nowadays, there are certain arrangements where there is a provision for change in prices. But purchase requisition can be raised for a one-off transaction, or it can be raised for a much longer period, like a year or so. So managing routine procurement request, it basically is the start of a procurement activity. Supplier communication, handling inquiries and resolving operational challenges. So when a requisition is raised, then you start handling the inquiries, etc. The inquiries can be with a single supplier, it can be with multiple suppliers. PO management, ensuring accurate purchase order processing. Again, for huge procurement, it can be that the same purchase requisition is used to issue multiple purchase order on different supplier. If it's a small requirement, it may be on a single supplier that you may place the purchase order. Core procurement activities. So procurement involves six critical activities, each playing a unique role in ensuring efficiency, cost control, and sustainability. And let's see what are those. So the first one being sourcing. Identify suitable suppliers through market research and evaluation, which we have already seen. Establish reliable supply chains to enhance business continuity. You need to also establish the supply chain, both on the supplier side. So how he's going to get his raw material, how he's going to actualize his product, which is your raw material or your component, and then how he's going to deliver it to you in terms of logistics, etc. Negotiation, we have seen that there are a number of commercial terms more other than simply price, which needs to be negotiated, including the quality that the supplier will guarantee. So strengthen supplier relationships for long-term value creation. And negotiation, again, why we say strengthen supplier relationship? Because it should not be a win-lose kind of a thing. It's not that just because the supplier is in dire needs of order, you can, squeeze in. And under duress, you can get him to offer very, very ridiculous prices. This will not actually strengthen the supplier relationship. So any negotiation has to be win-win, where the supplier doesn't feel cheated. I remember one case, where we had a negotiation where one of our leaders, he insisted that the supplier, reduce the cost. Simply because he, being a very senior person, a senior leader, had himself come for the negotiation. The supplier resisted, but this, the leader insisted. So he said, fine, I'll agree to what you're saying. But instead of doing a one-year contract, we'll only do a one-quarter contract. And after a quarter, we will renegotiate. After a quarter, the prices of that particular commodity went up drastically, and then the supplier increased the price disproportionately. So, this is what happens when you actually go in for a negotiation, which is not exactly win-win. So next part is purchasing. Generate and manage purchase orders, which is purchasing is more of a transactional thing. So once you have done the negotiation part, etc., you entered into a contract, into an agreement, etc., the transactional part is the purchasing part. So you generate and manage purchase orders, ensure compliance with procurement policies and budgets, because there are certain ethical policies, etc., which has to be looked at when you are purchasing material. Expediting, track procurement timelines to minimize delay. So especially, where material, your raw material or components are made to order, there can be a finite lead time between the time you place the order, purchase order, and the time the material will be ready for shipment. So many a times we have to expedite the order, in the sense we have to check whether the material is ready or not as per the delivery commitment given. And once it is ready, whether it is shipped or not, it could be that even shipment may take a finite time. So especially if it is coming from an overseas supplier, and it is coming by sea, then the transit times can be anywhere between few weeks to maybe 1 or 2 months. So you need to track the procurement timelines to minimize the delay. You don't want that there are surprises, you know, where you suddenly find that the material was supposed to be shipped, but it has still not been ready for shipment. Coordinate with suppliers for prompt delivery of critical goods and services. So expediting basically is to ensure that you receive the goods on time. Critical goods, you know, which are mission critical, that means your production can stop in case the goods don't arrive. Payment and financial compliance, process supplier invoices efficiently, which we have seen what it involves, ensure accurate payments and adherence to financial standards. So an effective procurement strategy drives organizational competitiveness. So this concept again has come from the Japanese people, who taught us that procurement can actually drive competitiveness, mainly through development of the supplier, transparency, working hand in hand, ensuring that you are getting the material at the most cost effective rate, and at the same time both of you carry minimum inventory, so that minimum working capital is blocked both at your supplier's end as well as your end. So let's look at the various components. Optimizing costs, reducing expenses through supplier negotiations and efficiency improvement. So negotiation is one part, and the efficiency improvement is what we talked about when we talked about the partnership with the supplier. Ensuring supply chain stability, addressing risks such as disruptions, shortages, and supplier reliability. So obviously you want to work with suppliers who are reliable, who are close to you, so that there will be minimum amount of disruption. There may be cases where you are forced to procure material from overseas supplier because you don't have many options, but one has to look at all these aspects to ensure that there is resilience in your supply chain, in the sense minimum chances or probability of disruptions which can actually cause a shortage or a stock out. Fostering innovation, collaborating with suppliers on a new product development and technological advancements. So this is another thing, you know, that the Japanese have taught us. Whenever they develop a new product, they involve the supplier. So for example, if a supplier is supposed to supply a component, then you are involving him in the design process for the new product. Why? Because he can guide you as to how you can further reduce the cost of that component by slightly modifying the design so that it can ease the manufacturing process at the supplier's end. So here you are collaborating with the supplier on a new product even while the product is being developed, and also you are looking at technological advancements. So whether it needs to be produced by the traditional methods like machining, etc., or whether you can use some of the new technologies which may give you clear advantage in manufacture of those items. Promoting sustainability and ethical sourcing. So ensuring compliance with environmental, social, and governance principles. This, environment, social, and governance, these have become the watchwords. And most of the organizations are required to show that they are committed to these principles and they are adhering to these principles. So this is also a selling proposition for some of the organizations. So it's necessary that you ensure every time you procure material, so that you are minimizing your carbon footprint, you are addressing social issues, which are not simply based on commercial considerations, and of course governance principles. Enhancing competitive advantage, strengthening supply chain resilience, operational agility, and market leadership. So we already saw in the previous chapters that, you know, agility is most important. There can be swift changes in the market, and every organization must have the ability to adapt to changes in a very quick or agile manner. And this applies even to the suppliers. So they should have operational agility. They should be able to quickly switch over to a different product, different component, different raw material. And by doing so, you can ensure market leadership so that, you know, you are able to cater to any changes in the market and you are not limited by the restrictions, you know, or the speed of execution of your suppliers.